On the Lord's Prayer, let us pray first. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy this morning. Father, we come before you as your children, and Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, as your children, we are growing up, and Lord, we need every word of wisdom from you. Father, we need the food, the spiritual food with rich vitamins. Father God, to build our bones, our muscles of faith, Father, in you. Oh God, give us a vision, Lord, to see you, Father God, in our lives, in our midst. Oh God, help us, Father, to get closer to you, Lord, and help us to love you more, Father. And every time, Lord, we come together, let us not just come together because, Father God, it's Sunday or because it's a duty you have to come to church, but Father, let us come together, Lord, to worship you, to praise you. And Father, let the only thing in our mind will be to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Father, we commit all to your hands and we bless your name. Help me this morning, Father God, to share these few thoughts with my brethren and open their heart and bless us and give us your grace, your mercy, Lord. We need you. May your presence be here this morning.
Amen.
We pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, happy to be back this morning. And, if we count off the months, the month that on and off has been almost, more than a year, almost a year since we started on the Lord's Prayer. I think we started in January of 2017. All right, and so if you come, we're going there. And I'm sure when I told you last year that it may take us a long time on this subject, I'm sure many might have said, well, how can that be? You know, it's just a simple prayer, for five verses. We hear it every day. Everybody know the Lord's Prayer. Every children know the Lord's Prayer. You hear it everywhere. How are you going to take 1 year to preach the Lord's Prayer? But you see, to get to this point, I have to take shortcuts. I'm sure if I didn't take shortcuts and I really have to, preach it the way, many things I learned from the Hebrew, from the Message, from the Bible, getting the words, what it means, and going back to the messages, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, man, we can spend almost... Somebody can just be a ministry just to pray the Lord, to preach the Lord's Prayer. Amen. So anyway, if we don't come today, I think we have two more services for July. We have next Sunday, which will be the 22nd and the 29th. By God's grace, God willing, I'll try to finish the Lord's Prayer if God, that's what we wish, but God always have his plan that, we don't know of. So today we are going to get on Matthew 6:13 that's my title there, and lead us not into temptation. Okay, and lead us not into temptation. So Matthew 6:13. All right. And lead us not into temptation. All right, we stop there. The verse has more, but that's the petition that we are going to talk on tonight, this morning. So what petition is that? The sixth petition. Good. You may be sitting. Another one I'll quickly read also is Luke 11:4. Okay, so in Luke 11:4, Okay, towards the end of Luke, the halfway, okay, saying, forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? And in Matthew 13, it almost reads the same, but we are going to take the second part of it. But now we are just going to be on lead us not into temptation. All right, now, this is a controversial verse in the Bible. Obviously, something is always controversial when you're in a car. You have in a carnal mind. Jesus said in John 3:3, "Unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Obviously, if you cannot see the kingdom of God, then it's subject to debate. You debate everything that's said in the Bible. All right? Now, there's an article in the Washington Post dated December 8, 2017, and I know it's a reader will tell me about, also, where Pope Francis is proposing to change that verse. Not the entire verse, but that part of the verse in the Lord's Prayer. And we know that Brother Branham told us that the Lord's Prayer, for almost 2,000 years, they've been trying to change Ireland. They can't change it. You can't break it. Now, the other thing that I wanted to see, and we see Brother Branham have mentioned that many times, the interpreters, when they went to interpret, sometimes they use words that in our English language, maybe now is subject to debate, really. Like, for example, when Jesus said, "In my house, there are many mansions," and Brother Branham had to come and explain that. What does that mean? Because you got, and as Brother Branham said, the book is Eastern book, and it's written with Eastern mindset, Eastern culture. Okay, but we are teaching the Bible in the Western way, and sometimes the way we teach it is like as far as the East is from the West. And it's true. If you go to Israel, you see many things that you think you see in the Bible is completely maybe what you know about it is different. And we thank God that in the end time, God sent a prophet so that we get light on some of these things. Amen? So that we don't spend time debating. Because many times the thing that trap Christians is that they are the main thing, but we spend time on the things that are not unnecessary. And we get our focus off of really what the main thing that God wants of us. Amen? But thank God, God sent a prophet. You see, people are going to debate about everything, but God sent us a prophet to tell us this is the thing to go. It's like, many times, I'm a water engineer, and I love watching rivers. And many of the things I've learned about rivers, I'll just stand there and be watching. There are something that we call, when you're doing equation, we call a singular point. So when a river flow is coming, we have to do equation to find how fast the water is going, how wide it's going to go, so that when you're building a bridge or whatever, what should be the opening of bridge, whatever structure. But there are certain points that we cannot solve. That's what I call singular points. That means if you're trying to get an equation, the solution gives you infinite solutions. You can choose. We call those as singular points. Now, what a singular point is, usually, and now that I tell you, when you go see a river, watch. Singular point is the river is moving, but you find point that is still there, not moving, you're turning around. And yet the whole water is moving. The water is moving. But if you pay attention, you look, you find one spot where the water is just, it's just like it's not moving nowhere. Everything's moving around it. You say, how? It's the same also in this room. If you walk well and cut your ear, you get a point, you hear, that's called singular point. We can solve those equations. So is that sometime the God is taking us to a rapture, but sometime we get into singular points. We stay in one point, we get turning around something and having discussion. And that's why they say we become idle. And that's why Brother said, idle words. Is you idle? And that's why Brother said in the Bible, he said, don't speak of those idle words. Don't be idle. You're idle, you're turning there. where the move is on with God. And that's what you got to avoid as a Christian. You got to avoid that. You know, when it gets discussion, what is it doing to me? Okay? Is this a requirement for the rapture? If it's not, then move, then you are become you're getting to a singular point. All right? I give you this so you can see. I like visual illustrations. All right? So, quickly, in the article of Washington Post, he came, let me quickly read to you a little bit what he says. It says, lead us not into. And then the article says, what? Pope Francis suggests changing the words of the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And they say one of the best known prayers in the English language might need an update for the sake of theological clarity. Okay, Pope Francis suggested in an interview this week. The words in the Lord's Prayer that ask, lead us not into temptation, can cause confusion. Francis said, to make it clear that God will not lead anybody towards sin, which is complete, okay, he's trying to see, making a point. The Pope suggested a better translation of the Greek prayer from the New Testament would be something along the lines of, do not let us fall into temptation. All right? Just play with words, right? Any change, just playing with words. All right? Any change to the text of the Mass in a Catholic church takes lengthy deliberations. Lengthy deliberations. Because it's a human being. It's subject to their opinion. It's subject to what they think. What about contacting the author who wrote it and asking, what do you mean? They can't do that. It's subject to lengthy deliberation. Francis' comment won't lead to a change in what churchgoers recite this Sunday. So at that time, okay, so that means you go process. But there's a precedent for the sort of change he suggested. The Catholic Church in France switched in liturgy on Sunday from Ne nous soumets pas la tentation, I mean, don't subject us to temptation, roughly, to don't expose us to, don't expose us to temptation, to an updated version, ne nous laisse pas entrer en temptation, meaning don't let us enter into temptation. All right? So, anyway, it keep going. But, so you see, this part of the Lord's Prayer, the question is, but if God is good, is our Father, He wants us to live for Him, why do we even have to pray, ask Him to not lead us into temptation? So as I begin to study, it's also very deep. It's also a very deep saying. And obviously, when I get there, I have to go to the Hebrew. I won't go from English, but I got an English just saying, I have to go from the Hebrew because I call it Hebrew an action language. And every word that is put, okay, obviously you tell me, well, the New Testament written in Greek. But Jesus didn't preach in Greek. Yeah, that's why it was transmitted to us in Greek. But somehow, Jesus spoke in Hebrew or Aramaic, okay? A mixture of Aramaic and Galilean accent. That's why you see when he was in the class, say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, okay? That's Hebrew. People, they just have to repeat that same phrase, okay? So we know for sure Jesus didn't preach in Greek. So I wanted to go in the Hebrew to see if we're in Hebrew, what is the mindset? How that principle, this idea, and then I'll come to the mercy, I'm sure, Brother Branham, even if he didn't say it, there's a word that Brother Branham will preach that will help me. Okay? Now, I didn't see much, I didn't see much about this verse in the message, apart from Brother Branham saying many times, but in prayer, he was reciting the Lord's Prayer and Lord lead us on to. But Brother Branham really saying something about it, I didn't see much. Okay? However, the prophet, so as I was praying, you know, every time I find something, I always want to make sure that I find something that a prophet has, you know, have really said. But then as I was praying yesterday, I was praying, I'll leave it a little bit, I was praying, and then I was not finding anything, but I know I have to bring something about it, okay? And then all of a sudden, I wake up wondering something else, and the Lord put on my heart, the prophet does not have to preach about every single verse. If a prophet had to preach about all the verses of the Bible, he had never preached anything. Amen? 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 Then the Lord began to tell me, Have you ever seen who among the prophet preached the Bible? No. Even Jesus, when he was here, he would refer here. Why? Because he was the entire word. His life manifested the whole Bible. He didn't even need to say verses, but he would refer to Moses said this, Moses said that. He said, that's why he told them, examine the scripture, because they are the one who testify of me.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? So no prophet spoke about every single Bible. Okay? People today fight over nursery matter and miss the main thing, like I was saying. Now, all right? Now, Brother Branham said there's no other piece of literature written anywhere that can, like the Bible. And mathematically, and geographically, every way, there's not a book in the Bible, wrote like the Bible. Okay, there's not even one. So here, however, when Christ came, like I said, he was every verse manifested. From Genesis to Revelation. Amen? And like, for instance, we say the cross is the New Testament. No, the cross, you can find a cross way from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation. And that's why Brother Bram said, if you take any verse of the Bible and you don't see Jesus Christ, read it again. But again, like I'm saying, it's hard for us in our language, okay, the language that the Bible transmitted to, sometimes to see what Brother Bram is saying. And that's why God sent us a prophet to demonstrate, and we have to believe it. Okay, we have to believe it. So, when the prophet revealed the mystery of God, and by revelation we caught it with the Holy Ghost in our soul, we can read a verse and see how that applies to our lives. Amen? As we live to be more like Christ. Amen? When God preached the revelation of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and we get that revelation, then you can see other verses that the prophet haven't preached, but you can see how that is part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay? Now, when we become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, then we too become the word. Amen? And every verse also will be manifested in us. And that's why Brother Bram said the purpose, the main reason why God came to redeem us is to bring us back to where we were. Amen? That we become Christ again living on two feet. Christ again living, we will manifest every verse. So now, let's, by the help of God, okay, and the revealed word, see how Matthew 6:13 applied to us. Amen? To build us as mature sons and daughters of God. Let's see how that applies to us. Now, so Matthew 6:13 come right after the fifth petition, and the fifth petition was asking to forgiveness of sin. Forgive us our sin as we also forgive those who trespass against us. Amen? Now, if you see, the one following is to preserve us from sin. Amen? Now, let's look at, like I said, the word of God, as I read to you earlier, the book, Brother Brown said there's not a book in the world, wrote like the Bible. There's nothing. The numerics of the Bible is perfect in harmony, just even chapters and punctuation, and everything is perfect. Not another book you could read a chapter out and see anything like that. And I can tell you, when I'm doing my Hebrew studies, I can tell you. Like I said, it may not be apparent to you in English or French or Spanish, but in the Hebrew, it is. Okay? So, right after Jesus said the petition, forgive us our sins, then the next is a little on temptation, preserving us from sin. Okay? Now, let us examine some very familiar scriptures. Let's take John 8:11. Let's take John 8:11. Okay. John 8:11. Now, talking about the woman that they were about to condemn to stone her, okay? And Jesus asked, have no man condemned you if I go and leave you back to 10? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So she was forgiven, but look what follows. Go and sin no more. Preservation from sin. Amen? Now let's take John 5. Let's take John 5, 14 to 15. John 5, 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him. That talking about the man that was healed, okay? The blind man findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest worse thing come upon thee. So you see, the forgiveness and wholeness, as I was saying in the previous petition, they come together. All right? You see again here, you know what I mean? Go sin no more. All right? Now let's take another one, Mark 14:38. Mark 14:38. Mark 14:38. Now, Jesus says here, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. All right, I'm just leading you to a path to somewhere we're going to get to. Now, let's take Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22 and 40. Okay, Luke 22, 40. I'll read 40 and I'll read 46. Okay, here. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then let's go now to 46. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. All right, so we got to follow the setup, okay? Now, remember, like I told you, one idea that we have, okay, then we, I always say we miss the main thing, is that God, brethren, God really sent the prophet to really help us understand what God is expecting of us. Like I said, life is about expectation. If you don't know what is expected of you, then how would you do anything? Life is about expectation. That's why we have to communicate clearly our expectation. And God has communicated his expectation, but always the devil makes sure he takes it and mess it up and it becomes something that people don't understand. And that's why at a time, you know, when it's the start, like Paul, they'll start the expectation, they'll do everything, and then it will go down, and so forth, and so forth. And to the last, In the last age, God said, I will send Elijah, the eagle. He will come here, and he's going to tie all those loose ends. He will tie them together, and will reveal it. Now, the revelation will be, when it begins to call, it's not that call everyone personally, but when that revelation hit you, hit that seed of God in you. And when that seed begin to grow, well, what's the purpose? It's to grow to be more like him. Because the whole purpose of us is to go back to the eighth day. What is the eighth day? The eighth day is a beginning. Amen. Amen. Going back to eternity. But in eternity, we'll be more like him. And that's why God even gave the prophet to go beyond the curtain of time to see these people out there. And they are not even there yet. They are just below where they're supposed to be. And Brother Brown came out and looked at his body and said, I don't want to go back to that body. But God said, go back, you have more work to do. So the main purpose of God, the main purpose of the message, like I always say, and I'll keep saying that, is not to send a message for a bunch of people to get together, say, we are going to rapture. It's not a message sent together to say, we are privileged people. It's not a message sent together to say, we don't sin, we don't do this, we wear long robe, we wear long hair, we don't wear short, we don't drink, we don't do voodoo, we don't do all those. No, that's not what it is. The thing God sent was to build individuals. Amen? Individuals that will grow up. Amen? That will grow up like children of God. Amen? That will grow up to be more like God. Amen? Amen? To grow up like Him. Amen? And that's what this is about. And that's the reason I keep repeating that the Holy Ghost become an imperative for all of us, everyone to be imperative. Because the Holy Ghost in you is what really. And like I told you before, and I showed the graph, okay, let's go to the next slide. Okay? Us, when you're born, like as I've been saying it, until the Holy Ghost comes, we came Satan way, you have the nature of Satan. All right? The nature is inclination. Look, Adam and Eve, as soon as they sin, what happened? They'll run away from God. That's the inclination of a human being. Amen? But God wants to bring us back to Him and make us be more like Him. So, this is the, I'm going to hit a little bit here in the Hebrew. But now, when we see Jesus said, go and sin no more. But that's why people get confused. Say, wait a minute, the Bible contradicts itself. Because if you take John 1:8, it says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Then, how just say go and sin no more? How are you going to live with that sin? And here the Bible says, okay, well, let's examine all those. All right? We are going to examine all those here. Now, let me take the Hebrew. All right? In Hebrew, that's what it's, you can read it. But what it says, Ve'al tevienu lidei masa. All right? I'll go into. So, Ve'al, this is just a negation. In Hebrew, it was a negation of like low. So here, Ve'al, okay, that's negation of say no, okay? This word following here, Tavienu, is come from what they call in Hebrew the verb lehavi. Lehavi means to bring or to fetch. Alright? So it's like, don't bring us. Okay? Lidei. Li mean to, but yidei mean hen, yad. Yad mean hen. You hear about Yad Vashem, about yad mean hen. Yadei mean like hens. Now, the word we're going to focus on here, masa. All right? You've seen in your Bible, you're ready, if you haven't paid attention, I'm going to give you some scripture. So masa, the word masa here, comes from a root that means to melt, despair, dissolve, or consume, as fire that tells the quality of something. That's what the word masa. All right? Now, as a noun, so Hebrew come from, like the root word, and from the root we can form verbs and different things. It express, the root will express the idea of a principle. And then from the principle, we see all the things that branch off the principle ideas, okay? So here, as a noun, the word is often translated as test, trial, or temptation, and it's directly used to name the place where the children of Israel rebel against God in the wilderness. All right, let's take Exodus 17:7 quickly. So Exodus 17, Exodus 17:7. Okay, say, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. Meribah means strife, contention. Okay? Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they did what? They tempted God. They tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us now? Alright? So let's, and then Deuteronomy 6:16, we can read that. You can see the same. In fact, I think I have the next slide. Okay, so here I try to put them here. So you can see where it is, the word Massah, and right there, what I just showed you, right? Now, next slide, please, again. Again, Jerome says that's a Massah. And then let's go again to the next slide. And in Psalm, it's mentioned a lot, the word Massah. All right? And that's where the same thing we are finding, the Lord's Prayer, okay? All right? Now, remember Massah? It happened where in the wilderness, where hard things are happening. All right? When things are happening. Now, let's go to the, what's the next slide? Okay, here's the next slide. I'll mention it before and I keep coming back to this. Inside here, you see, you have the five senses to contact the outside world and all these things, temptation, trial, and all that. And then you have the spirit that have the five senses, feel, taste, and all that. But inside, that's the body, I'm sorry. And then you have the spirit that have the five senses, reason, memory, affection, conscience. And then inside here, the soul, there's only one thing. Either you have the nature of God or the nature of Satan. And Brother Brown said, is either the dove or the serpent? All right? So that's going to guide against into that scripture that we are. And remember, Brother Brown said, things happen here in the flesh, things happen, but everything that's happening with God is right here. As far as God is concerned, we're here in the soul. Amen? Amen? Now, and like Brother Brown was saying, if you study the Hebrew series, Brother Brown was saying there was nobody to till the soil. So he created a man, gave him like maybe the bare feet, he gave the hand like chimpanzee and all that. But one thing that he did, okay, that the other don't have, he put a soul. And that soul is what connects you to God. Else, if that is not there, you are no different than the animal. Amen? You are no different. Next slide. So, if we examine the word Massah, okay? So, the origin of the word Massah is what Jewish culture called Yitzeh Hara. That's the Jewish word, Yitzeh Hara. Now, Yitzeh Hara is of the inner, I'm sure it's off, is off, I'm sure, put it, okay? That's not part, this is not part of it. It's me, it's typo. Okay? Is the concept, is the inner impulse to gravitate towards selfish gratification, idolatry. Do you see what I put over there? I'm coming back again to the Holy Ghost now. All right? Do you see what I put in the soul? The inner gravitation of human beings. Look, Adam and Eve. As soon as they fell, you think that they'll go back to the Father and ask God forgive us. But that inner gravitation is to gravitate towards the serpent. And that's why Satan can tell you, this whole world belongs to me. Because every human being, the gravity is to go there. And that's what you call it, Yitzeh Hara. In the next service, I'm going to take these two words. Okay, I'll break it down, Yitzeh Hara. I'll break it down a little bit because that will be part of the second verse. Okay? Now, it's the inner gravitation of men to gravitate. Because after we left and we came Satan way, inside of us, everything that Satan did, like I told you that when God said, when I said do not add, the only one word, and maybe next time I'll try to put that in, the only one word that the devil added to what God said was written in Hebrew, with two letters, that's the reverse of the name of God. Okay, I'll try showing you this time. The only one word that was added was a word that's written with the name of God, reverse. Amen? That's the reason why I'm letting quick pause, open parenthesis here, There's a the drink, those who like a monster drink, they try to write M, but those are not M, those are valve. And now valve has to do with the nail, has to do with the cross and all that. And if you notice well, now if you see a monster drink, in the O, they have like a cross. Okay, and they said that people that do the design, everything has to go against Christ. But they said when you're drinking it and you put it upside down, there's a cross upside down. All right, when you're drinking. So those who love drinking monster, next time you pick up a monster, think about it. All right, I'm not trying to say anything against monster, but I'm just trying to the mind out there. All right, if you want to drink your monster, that's fine, you know, but I'm just trying to. All right, so this world here is controlled by Satan. Eating everything, because everything that fell from the very beginning, the first act that he did to make men fall is something that means against God, the opposite of God. Amen? Obviously, if you write the opposite of God in English, G-O-D, if you write it, then, you know, we can't really get the idea, all right? But everything was opposite. Go the other way. If God's going this way, you go that way. Okay? And that's where we are coming into this. So the inclination, let's take Genesis, okay? In Genesis 6:5, that's where this appeared. Okay? That you said Hara. Where the wickedness of man is described as every imagination. That's what you say, I mean, okay? Of the thought of his heart was evil, Ra. Amen? Now, in the New Testament, the word you say, Hara, is also called a carnal mind. It's a carnal mind. It's a curse God. The carnal mind, the old nature. You remember that thing I put before? The old nature must die. You cannot cover this old nature. If you cover the old nature, it's just you're taking a devil and try to put him in suit. It will not work. Amen? It will not work. It's like trying to take a pig, wash him well, and then put him so you go right back. Amen? All right? So here, carnal man, the old man, the natural man. Amen? Next slide. Do I have? Okay. So you say, Hara. That's where it appears, and like I said, we see next time. I'll go into a little bit more next time. Next slide, that's the end, right? Thank you, Josh. Okay, so in this petition here, all right, we are asking the help of God to redirect our hearts, our attitude in the face of difficult and trying times. All right, when things come, it's very easy to begin to curse God. You see, Job, when the things begin to go bad, what does his friend say? Curse God and die. Do this and die. But God had to help him. God came down, okay, all right? God came down and began, first of all, God gave him Eliyahu. Eliyahu means God, my God, is he, okay? Eliyahu, God sent him, Eliyahu, to get to help him, all right? And God begins to tell me, where was that when I lay? Because to curse God is to enter into temptation, your heart begin to turn raw. But that's why they say, why don't you curse God? His wife will say, curse God and then die. You see? So we have to begin to look at this thing here, not from outside, but let's go deep, 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 deep into the soul where it is happening with God. Like I said, we are still subject to the world. In John 17, Jesus said, Father, I don't pray that you remove them from this world, but do what? Keep them from the evil. Now when you read the English, in Matthew 6:13, it said, deliver us from evil, right? But we are going to see, when you really read it, okay? I'm not saying it the wrong way, but the precision, the depth is deliver from the evil one. There's only one evil one we know. All right? When you say deliver from evil, it could be anything. Okay, when I go drink, is that what it is? But brother said, that's not sin. Oh, okay, well, deliver me from smoking. Yeah, but brother said, that's not sin. Amen? In fact, there's somebody who used to smoke, but brother had to buy a pack of cigarettes and say, give it to him. From there, he didn't smoke anymore. All right? Even for all this, that, brother, that's not sin. The sin is unbelief. And I told you, what is unbelief? Is it a soul? Faith or doubt? Amen? The snake or the dove? Either you believe, belief or doubt. That's where it is. That's where the Sahara. Amen? So, we're asking God to help us to not fall into the hands of Massa. All right? Okay, so, so, the Yisahara, I said next time we will try to go a little bit deeper into that. All right, we try to go a little bit deeper into that. I'm trying to see here, we're out of time. What should I skip for now? And Brother Bram said here, okay, God give you a little something once in a while to kind of meeken you up a little. You know, that's right. Kind of make you realize that he's the boss. Yes. Amen. Isn't he? Yes. Amen. Now, Brother Bram said, now, everyone that comes to God will be tried and tested. But when you're tried and tested, don't think, well, God is not with you when something happened to you. It's very easy to go into that inclination. So our prayer, okay, in our prayer is that, in fact, this prayer, if I can say, is almost like asking God, God, fill me the Holy Ghost. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, you say, well, wait a minute. He said, do not lead me to temptation. But if you have the Holy Ghost, that's the man, the control tower. That's God. That you're, he'll tell you no. You lose somebody, you lose a loved one, like Job, you say, God give, and God take away. Glory be to the name of God. Amen. Brother Branham himself told his story when he lost his daughter. And he's just like, God would just shut down the curtain in front of him. And then the devil, then what happened? You see, now it comes down to the soul. What did the devil say? Why don't you just, look, you pray for all the sick. You did all this. He healed all these people. Did all this for you. And now, him with one word, he can heal that. He can heal your daughter. And look what he did to you. And Brother Ramsey said, you see, that's where he was there. Either he go God's way, or either he fall into temptation. Amen? Because the devil knows, like I said, the inclination of a human being is to fall into temptation and go the other way. So that the devil began to talk to him. Look all what he did. Painting a nice picture, just like he did to Eve and then Adam in the garden, right? Begin to paint a picture. You pray for everyone. He healed them. And what about you? Do you think he really loves you? And Brother Ram said he's there. And Brother Bram said, if it had not been for that abstract in his heart, the Holy Ghost, why would he fall? So that's why I'm telling you, this is a prayer when he said, Lord, lead us. When he said, Lord, lead us not into temptation, it's like asking the Holy Spirit, God, fill me. Because in a time of trial, in a time of temptation, guess what? When Brother was there, Brother was just, he was about to, Brother said, he was about to say, yeah, I give up. And my wife is there in a morgue. I haven't been buried there. And there goes my daughter. And here I am. I pray for everyone. And the devil is telling me, you can do that now. He said, he was right there. And you have just turned the other way. But he said, what? Thank God for the abstract identity, for the Holy Ghost that was there. Amen. Amen. So that's the reason why, brothers and sisters, I cannot overemphasize this. The time has come. We've done all what we know we have to do. We've come to church. We pay our tithes. And don't just tell yourself, you know what, God feel in the Holy Ghost, I got the Holy Ghost. No, I'm not talking about that. I want him every day. I want God every single day, every moment, to be with me, to keep me away from falling into temptation, to keep me away from the hands of Massa.
Amen.
To keep me away from when the trying times comes. Amen. I want to have the mind of Christ. Amen. When everything falls apart, like Brother Bram said, when everything around you falls apart, that's when you stand still and know that God is God. He says, stand still and know I'm God. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Father, for all what you've done for us. Lord, you died for us, and through the blood that was shed, you gave us redemption. But Father, you didn't just redeem us so, Father, we can come around and, you know, fellowship one another, even though all those things are good. But Father, you die so that, Father, you may have children, sons and daughters that we will adopt. Father, that can take off your business. Sons and daughters of God that you can walk in on this earth in this last time, Father, in this end time that we're living in. That's why, oh God, to tie all those loose ends and clarify things to us, you send us a prophet, William Myron Branham, the eagle, in the eagle age, Father, to Father, open our heart so we can see those things, magnify Jesus Christ. Father, to know that it's about individuals that you're trying to build up, in whom you can walk again and manifest your characteristics as God, Jehovah, on earth once again. So, Father, we pray that you help us. And, Father, as our prayer said, Father, we pray, lead us not into temptation, Father. Help us. Help us, Father, to stay with you. And, Father, when everything around us crumbles, when, Father, when everything around us crumbles, let us be like Job and stand and know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Let us, Father God, say I was there when the morning star sang for joy. Let us know, Father God, that you are still God. We thank you for everything. We thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us here. We thank you, Lord, for the very life you gave us today. And we pray, Father, that may you bless the service coming, bless the minister, bless everything. May all be done to give you glory. And Father, whatever we hear today, let it be on our heart. I will meditate on it, and we give you honor, glory, and thanks. Father, and may all of us know that, Father, the time, the exit time is here, the time for the going home, and the requirement is the token. Let us all apply the token. Let us all claim the token. And apply it to our families, Father. Yes. Let us not play. Let us not, Father God, take any chance. But let us, Father God, apply it, Father. We thank you, and we pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name. We commit all to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.